Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking to Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg. She is an amazing violinist, and she's going to be here with the Assad Brothers at the Lensic tomorrow night. And we will be speaking with Matt Nink, who is the director of the Global Youth Leadership Institute. Right now, I would like to welcome Mark Challum. He is a solar architect, and he's here to talk to us about the upcoming Adobe USA 2009 conference. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, hi there.
It's great to have you. Now, Adobe Conference. Adobe is an old material that they've been using all over the world, especially in climates, but not limited to climates like ours. There is a lot going on that's very new with Adobe. What happens at a three-day, it's actually more than a three-day conference, but basically a three-day conference such as this one?
Well, we're going to be getting together with people from all over the world. There is a region in the world, kind of around the middle of the planet, where most of the people live in earthen homes. And this is going to be our fifth international conference. We have got over 15 different nations represented with technical papers. We'll be get together. We'll be talking about common interests, common goals, common problems, and the future of Earth,
now
which will be here.
Which the Earth probably isn't going anywhere, even as a lot of other things change on this crazy planet. Now, I think of Adobe as a material that's used in climates where it's pretty dry. You can take Earth, you can mold it into bricks, and you build out of them, but if it rains all the time, you better use something else.
Well, you could use a big roof that'll protect your walls. But again, in a very, very humid climates, you would come up with different approaches. But in drier, arid climates, and definitely the United States can expand to where I would say half of this nation can utilize earth blocks in one way or another to construct homes and buildings.
Now, what's the difference between earth blocks and the kind of Adobe that we're using here?
Well,
like if you were in the Midwest or something where it's a lot more green and humid, could you still use earth building techniques?
Sure. You can go ahead and use a compressed earth block machine and compress the blocks so you don't have to count on the sun to dry them. I've got pictures of homes that were built in New York State and they're still occupied in the 1800s, made out of adobe brick. Washington, D.C., we've seen examples. Definitely all over the Southwest and up into the Montana, Wyoming, Idaho areas. There are all earthen buildings.
Now, you are doing kind of, I guess, what are called hybrids. You're working with Adobe in traditional and really new ways.
Yes. I look at Adobe as a very sustainable product and material. I integrate it with other materials, such as insulation, so you can get a synergistic effect. You can use the Adobe as a climate moderator. That's a term I like to use, where it keeps a building cool in the summer and keeps it warm in the winter. And that's one of the magics of earthen building. And so combining that with exterior insulations, we're utilizing this wonderful effect as a moderator on the inside of homes.
So when you have an insulated adobe building, the insulation goes on the outside rather than the inside.
Yes.
What kind of insulation are you talking about?
Well, we have used foam boards. We have gone with frame construction on the outside of adobe and utilized blown cellulose. We have used cotton bats.
And whatever you use, then you put stucco on the outside so that it looks like any other house around here?
Yeah. And, you know, there are different ways, and we're all talking and looking at ways of minimizing cement and stucco.
Right.
So we're looking at utilizing lime. We're utilizing muds as plasters as opposed to a cement-based stucco. And, again, a little bit of wall protection and a little bit of maintenance is necessary. And even though that's not American, but that's why Taos Pueblo is still there for 900 years. It's built into the culture.
Is to do maintenance. That's an interesting thing. So we as Americans don't like to do maintenance. I guess that's the idea of having a, what would you call it, plastic siding on your house, that kind of thing?
Correct.
Yeah.
But eventually it falls apart, and then the plastic has to go somewhere.
Right. And it usually ends up in a dump where it just stays and stays and stays.
For 100,000 years.
Yeah, well, or maybe less. But we're still looking at ways to minimize the impact of construction on this planet.
So you're doing a presentation yourself during this Adobe conference, which is coming up, by the way, May 15th and 16th, although there's Earth Building Workshops before that. There's a local Adobe tour, but the bulk of the conference is Friday and Saturday, May 15th and 16th. Tell us about your presentations about a particular house.
Okay, well, I'll be presenting a home that we have designed a number of years ago, Susan and Richard Bechtold. It has won the Green Home of the Year Award through Sukasa Magazine in Build Green, New Mexico. And I will be presenting how I am utilizing and integrating Adobe and other sustainable technologies into producing a home that can be built well into the future.
So what are some of the other sustainable technologies you're using? You're a solar architect, presumably passive solar.
Passive solar, yeah. And that's, you know, the low-hanging fruit. That's the first thing that needs to be optimized first.
Now, that doesn't cost anybody anything, just a little bit of brain power.
Right, so that's why it's not being marketed as solar equipment is being marketed.
Oh, that's so interesting, because you can't, once everybody figures it out, nobody's going to make a profit.
Right.
Well, that's something I wondered about Adobe. When you have areas, for example, some Indian reservations that have a very high degree of unemployment, they've got a lot of dirt, they've got a lot of people who need work. It seems like there would be a really great
opportunity for economic development self-help housing.
Exactly.
Sure.
But then nobody would make any money because they would build their own houses and control their own lives and technology and houses.
Yeah. Now, we've looked at that probably about 25 years ago, and we ran into a number of problems with HUD. Since Adobe is not a man-made product, it cannot be stamped and certified as to all its quality strengths and properties. So the U.S. government would not allow us to use Adobe.
Oh,
I think that's kind of starting to turn around. Again, all that work is being done by architects who's been doing the housing for 30 years on the Pueblos, and the houses are already designed, and they just rubber stamp them onto a new site. So anybody coming in with new ideas finds it very hard to compete with these types of projects. So I'm hoping that'll start turning around. I will be talking with Santo Domingo Pueblo tomorrow, wearing my other hat as a technical advisor and board member to the New Mexico Solar Energy Association, as well as the Adobe Association of the Southwest.
Let's talk for a moment about that, because you had a meeting with the New Mexico Solar Energy Association, in which you talked about the new green building codes, which, of course, everybody is very excited about, but there are some problems with them.
Yeah, I've been working with that for quite a while. I'm very excited about the new codes because they are very inclusive. They cover many aspects of construction, from siting to indoor air quality, the materials you use, the size of the building, where it's located. And they do have a lot of good directions towards energy, except for one requirement out of the whole 200 hoops that you need to jump through. And that is a REM rate analysis.
What's that?
That is an analysis that has to be done by a third party. It is a fixed packaged software program that is probably developed for 80-85% of the homes that are built in this country. But it's not what I do, and it's not what New Mexico should be doing. It doesn't look at thermal mass. It doesn't look at passive solar. It would almost outlaw a good passive solar Adobe home from being built in New Mexico, and I'm very afraid of that. It leans people towards buying their way into heaven.
So instead of having a house that had very good passive solar construction and needed very little additional, for example, heating systems, it would have you build a house the way you always built it and then add solar panels? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what it leans you towards. And, you know, I've been looking at analytical methodologies for 30 years. And I've been on the forefront of developing analytical methodologies for passive solar buildings. And I know that the REM rate program, and I looked at it extremely carefully, does not have the sophistication necessary to project the performance of a solar building. It doesn't look at thermal mass. It doesn't look at time delays. It doesn't know when a building is overheated and the solar energy that you're collecting is useless and you have to throw it away. So it doesn't balance a building like some of the other methodologies we utilize. In fact, the building that we are going to present that won the Green Home of the Year award only passed that analysis by 1 point.
It only passed that analysis by 1 point, but how does it actually perform? How much energy does it use? How much energy does it save? What's going on in that building?
Well, we did a very careful study of the energy used. We set the thermostats in that building to 70 degrees, constant, day and night, 365, 24/7. Fill the propane tank 365 days after the first. The owner is an engineer with the Department of Energy, so he's not just a hack. We have done sophisticated analysis of that building, the energy used, and found out that the REM rate analysis is off by over 30% and makes our building look 30% worse than it actually is.
Very interesting. So you are working to basically have the codes be appropriate to New Mexico technologies.
Yeah. We need to change that around for the way we build in New Mexico. We have an incredible historic vernacular style or ways of building that works with our climate.
Now,
we should work with our climate.
Right. So you've been building buildings for 30 years and really been a solar architect for 30 years. And it's funny how I was talking to some people who built their own adobe house out of bricks that they made digging in the ground and you know, they made their own house. And they read all the Whole Earth, whatever they were called, magazines from the 1970s when all the hippies went to the Southwest and figured out how to do it. And it worked. And their house uses virtually no energy. A wood stove on really cold days, that's it. And now people are starting to say, oh, hey, wait, we can codify this. We can do something with this. We can make it on a mass scale. How does that work? Is this something that every person has to figure out for themselves and sort of invent the wheel? Can it be mass produced?
Sure, it can be mass produced. It just needs to be taught. There's nobody teaching it. And it's really kind of sad that I think people in this area were more aware of solar 20, 30 years ago than they are now.
Amazing.
When you say solar to people, they think of PV panels on their roof and running their electric meter backwards.
Right.
Nobody's thinking about a clothes dryer, clothesline.
Yeah, a clothesline and having south-facing windows and overhangs and big, thick walls that collect the heat so that you're warm at night.
Right. And that's why I started what I call 10 Bucks Solar, Institute of Simple. And I'm going to go around and I'm going to re-educate people as to what we've forgotten. Even the state energy office has put out things 25 years ago that is better than what they're putting out now.
Very interesting. We're talking to solar architect Mark Challum. And getting back to the Adobe conference, which is happening on May 15th and 16th, there are people, as you said, coming from all over the world, and there's all these amazing technologies and ideas that they're bringing with them to share with each other. One that struck me, I was reading through the abstracts of the conference, was somebody, I think in Brazil. Who figured out how to shred up plastic bags and use them instead of the straw that you normally put in adobes.
Right, because they have limited amount of straw, and they
and
have a whole lot of plastic bags,
and
the industry is using a small little office paper shredder to shred the bags. They also take them and they braid them together, multiple bags into long lengths, and they heat shrink them using solar energy.
Just so they have a big long solar oven.
Yeah, and they shrink these and they use that as horizontal reinforcing for earthquake design.
And they're using that
fantastic.
They're using it instead of steel.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Isn't that a great idea?
I mean, when you think of not only what's saved, but the incredible problem that we have with plastic bags, it's almost unbelievable.
Right. And it's horrible. You know, we drove into northern Chihuahua about a year ago, and it was sad that you could be 50 miles out of town And every one of the little cactuses have two or three plastic bags blowing off of them.
Amazing.
It's like the national flower down there.
Right, right.
And, yeah, I think this is a great way to utilize those bags.
Are we
doing
it?
Until we can eliminate them.
Are we doing it here? Do you think it'll catch on? Like, would you start doing that? Would you start saying,
I start braiding bags?
Well, not braiding bags. I mean, earthquakes aren't as much of a problem here, but shredding bags and using them in your adobes.
Well, that's possible. You know, at this point, you know, we don't utilize much straw in our adobes because our earth is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we have enough clay as a natural binder.
Right.
But if we ever come across another part of the country where we're looking for something to help as a binder, that could work. And I think it's a fantastic idea.
What are some of the other presentations that you're excited about?
Well, Quentin Branch is coming from Tucson, which is the Arizona desert. And at 4,500 feet, he has rammed himself a home and a number of homes that use absolutely no energy for heating and cooling. Quentin also realized that running down his street is all the storm water every time it rains. So he diverted the water off the street and collects 88,000 gallons of water for his own home use, gardens, orchards, and everything else in the Tucson desert.
Goodness.
It's just awesome.
And
it's
the city
just
hasn't,
so exciting.
The city hasn't come down on his head?
No. No, I think they're probably happy that he's kind of dealt with a problem that they'd have to deal with downstream. Another thing I'm very excited about is that we have gone through the New Mexico State Government to help us, Bill Richardson's office, to help us get the paperwork to bring an architect from Iran here to talk with us. About the commonalities
the evil
of
Earth empire?
Construction. Yes. But, you know, Obama was looking for common ground.
Right.
Well, we have both. Common and ground. So we're really excited about meeting with the Iranian architect.
And they've got incredible adobe architecture there that dates way further back probably than that from this region.
Yeah, just an incredible history of earth construction. I'm very excited about the Iranian ice-making towers. Iran is known as the ones that invented ice cream. They make ice when it's only 40 degrees outside, and they store it seasonally from the winter into the summer, and then comes summer, they pull it out of these giant adobe beehives and serve themselves ice cream.
They invented ice cream.
Yeah, well, that's one of their claims of fame. Also one of the most beautiful adobe cities. 2,000 years old. Bomb in Iran was just destroyed in 2003 by a massive earthquake. So now we can study and understand the effects of earthquakes on adobe buildings. We have an opportunity to look at historic restoration and then apply that all over the world. You got Chan Chan in Peru, you got Pacome in Mexico, you've got Tunisia, you know, we've got Chaco Canyon and Bandelier. It's just wonderful.
What are these conferences like with all of these people from all over the world meeting with each other? It must be such a great meeting of the minds.
It really is, and the campus of Northern New Mexico accentuates that because it's a small, quiet campus. So during the day and into the evening, we each take turns doing a presentation. Presentations will be both in English and Spanish. And I don't know what we're going to do with people from Greece, but we'll try and translate it somehow in Nigeria, in Germany, Portugal, United Arab Emirates. So at the end of the presentations in the evening, about 9 o'clock, we all sit around inside, outside, and just talk about commonalities.
And I bet that's when a lot of
pictures.
And I bet that's when a lot of the real stuff happens.
Oh, it is. And drawing is an international language.
Right.
So we just really have a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to a lot of folks returning from different parts of the world. I've been corresponding with them throughout the years. Again, I'm very excited about Iran. Natural cooling is something that we really can utilize here in New Mexico. And they've been doing it for thousands of years.
Right.
Nothing hard about it. No machines, no moving parts, no electrical input.
Right.
The building is the machine. And that's my mantra. and that's how I designed.
We're talking to solar architect Mark Challum. So you, when before we went on the air, you were talking about the fact that there are so many wonderful people in New Mexico, all over the Southwest, all over the country, who are doing earthships and who are doing adobe and who are doing all sorts of new materials and old materials, and they're not really united.
Yeah, it's very sad to see that there are so many little green organizations that just don't get together and say, we are all green. And what could we do together to be synergistic? It's the straw people are in their little holes, and the adobe people are in their own little holes, and the Santa Fe Alliance is in their own little homes, and Build Green New Mexico is their own little thing.
So
and they all have conferences and workshops on the same weekend, and tours on the same weekend, and no one talks to the other. And it's hard trying to be a generalist and be a part of all of it.
Now, this is a call to some enterprising mediator type who's interested in all of this stuff. Find ways to bring everybody together.
Yeah, that's very important, because we're all supposedly going in the same direction.
Now, in addition to the conference, which is on Friday and Saturday, May 15th and 16th, Adobe USA 2009, fifth annual conference on Earth architecture, there are also earth building workshops that are happening Monday through Thursday. And then a local adobe tour on Sunday. Tell us about those.
Okay. Well, the workshops are extension of the adobe programs at Northern New Mexico College. There is a wonderful college program on earth construction at Northern. You can go to their website, look it up. We have a number of internet courses that people can take. And then when they have time, they come up to the campus and take some of the classes. There are classes in natural mud plasters and finishes. There'll be a class on arches, domes, and vaults made out of earth construction. It's
right.
Very exciting.
We've had Simone Swan talking about those things here on the air.
And there is a workshop on just earth block construction, you know, from rammed earth to compressed earth block to sun-dried brick to wattle and daub to cob, so light straw clay.
So all of these things, I mean, I think the thing that's hard for people is you've got a job, you've put together enough money to build your house or maybe do an addition or a renovation on your house. You're not really a do-it-yourselfer. You've got to hire somebody else to do it. And if the person you're hiring doesn't know about these very things that you're talking about right now, you can't do this stuff.
Right. That's why we're trying to re-educate New Mexicans. To the
technology. So not only the individuals, but the construction companies themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's very important. And then you also have to educate the bankers and the realtors and the appraisers and the mortgage people to appreciate this.
So
they are so far behind the curve, it's frightening.
Are they invited to this conference?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Those are the people we need to touch base with. They're the shakers and movers. They're the ones that make things happen. So they need to be educated as to the advantages of these construction techniques and the heritage that we have in New Mexico and the reason for that heritage.
I think there's a real cultural shift that is behind what you're talking about, which you kind of alluded to in the beginning when you said that Americans don't like to maintain things. It's not really a part of our culture. I think as we learn to do that and as we come to have it be part of our culture, then we come to more of a relationship with natural materials.
Yes, and our environment. You know, if you live in a passive solar home, you know when the sun is shining. You know when it's a warm day. You know what to put on in the morning when you go outside.
Of course, when you live in a
drafty home. You are part of your environment.
When you live in a drafty home, it's the same way.
Yeah.
So Mark Challum is a solar architect, and one more thing I want to make sure we talk about. There's a tour as well, a local adobe tour that's happening on Sunday the 17th.
Okay, the 17th, Sunday, we'll be having a tour, and since we have so many people coming from out of the nations, out of the country, they all want to go to Taos Pueblo. Taos Pueblo is the icon in New Mexico when it comes to adobe construction.
Right.
It's 900 years old. It's the oldest continually occupied building in the United States, and it's our mecca, I guess. So we have set up a tour that we'll be going to Acalde. We'll be seeing Mel Medina's Adobe Factory, which is the largest adobe producer in the world now. which is just wonderful. And then we'll be seeing a few historic buildings on the way up, probably Ranchos de Taos, and then, of course, the Taos Pueblo. Those locals that have been to Taos many a times may want to be part of the sustainable home tours being sponsored by the New Mexico Green Build organization. And they are also having a big sustainability week full of conferences and lectures and trade fairs that same week in Albuquerque.
So for more information, people can go to adobeusa.org for registration about the Adobe USA conference. And they can also call area code 575-581-4156. And if you want to talk to Mark Chalom, you go to markchalom.com, and that's spelled MarkChalom. And I want to thank you so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
We're going to take a break right now, and we will be with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg, the great violinist, in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.